If you were here last Sunday, you would recall that I mentioned in my sermon how we live our lives matters to God. Today's Bible readings, in my opinion, support the idea that God, who searches the heart, is more interested in our hearts and inner selves than in our external customs and rituals, traditions, and so on. So I will mainly focus on our epistle reading, which has been read to us by Rupert beautifully, and our gospel reading. Tradition tells us that the author of the letter of James was the brother of Jesus. Although James was not one of the first 12 disciples, but he quickly became a leader among the believers in Jerusalem after Jesus' resurrection. In the greeting of this letter, chapter 1, verse 1, James addresses the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. So we can imagine that his intended audience includes Jewish followers of the way, because Christianity was called the way, and who have fled from Jerusalem after the stoning of Stephen. His readers were suffering persecution and living in poverty. They were in social and spiritual conflict. Many believers were living in a worldly manner. James corrects them and challenges them to seek God's wisdom to work out these problems. This letter was written to help us Christians learn how to live as Christians. This letter is not that interested in reminding us of how we worship, but in how to live. It is a very practical letter in that sense. And I believe this letter tackles the one big question in a Christian's life, which is how to live out our faith. How to put our faith in action. Because it challenges us to take the next step in our walk with Jesus, in our life of discipleship. It teaches us how to do so. It challenges us not just to walk, not just to talk the talk, but to walk the talk, so to say. And then it shows us what all that means. So Jesus has been speaking to us for the past 5 weeks, referring to himself as the bread of life. It is only today that we return to the Gospel of Mark, which is the gospel set for year B in the lectionary cycle. So in John chapter 6, which we have been reading for the past 5 weeks, Jesus has used very graphic language to insist that if we are truly going to be his followers, then we must take him into ourselves and become like him. Lip service won't do. We must go all in if we are to become true disciples. We don't know if James was present when Jesus gave his bread of life sermon, but it seems to me that he must have understood what Jesus meant. In today's passage from James, notice the connection he makes between simply hearing the word and doing the word. For James and the people to whom he wrote, making a major commitment to Jesus was always going to be risky. But the risk of not making a commitment was even worse. James starts this particular passage by reminding us that every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, as James calls God in this reading. Every perfect gift is from above, including the gift of God's word. And before we can do the word, we must hear the word. St. Paul says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Moses in our Old Testament reading said to his people, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe." Our translation says, "So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe." Give heed, pay attention to. The Bible is something we have to pay attention to. The word needs to reach us. The message that descended from above to us. Notice first that there is a divine order that James gives us in order to be successful in the word. The divine order is listen, hear, then put the word into action. Hearing the word is like when you pass by a place where they are cooking something that is good, like Indian food, or Chinese, or Mexican, Italian, whatever you like. You can smell it. Sometimes you can even taste it in the smell. It smells good. And you know what it is by its smell. But unless you eat it, it's not part of you. The moment you eat, food starts to flow through your system and it nourishes your body. Your sense is awakened by its taste and you want more because it tastes so good. And few Sundays back we heard, "Who taste and see that the Lord is good." It's the same thing when we are not hearers only but also doers. It seems that everywhere else in the New Testament we are urged to speak boldly, to proclaim the gospel at every opportunity, to share the word. But James suddenly sounds a lot like his big brother Jesus, turning what we expect on its head. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And have you ever thought of listening as a form of evangelism? James tells us that it is the first thing we should do as representatives of the gospel of Christ. As God's gift to a hurting world, we are to listen to the pain, the need, the despair around us. Even more than this, we must be quick to listen to God's word, just as Jesus told us to take his flesh and blood into ourselves. So James tells us to welcome the implanted word into our lives. It's not enough to sit back and let the word of God run in one ear and out the other. It won't help. It is when we take it, we are to let it be implanted in us. If we remove the things that Jesus mentioned in our gospel this morning, then the word of God can be implanted in our hearts. It needs a little bit of cleansing. The human heart is depicted by Jesus as a powerful place of connection. It is in our hearts that our intentions and motivations are connected to our actions. It is in our hearts that we know the power of the Spirit and the reign of Christ Jesus. It is in our hearts that evil can spring. And it is in our hearts that we can let the word of God take root. And Jesus says, the word of God is like a seed. We need to take that word into our hearts and let it take root. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. By doing what the word says, it becomes part of you and it awakens your spiritual senses to want more of God in our lives and more of His Word. However, we must be cautious to pay close attention to God's Word and not stray from it. Because if we stray from it, we get into the traditions and rituals which won't help. Because Christianity is not a religion, but a way of life. And until we see that, we misunderstand it. It was called the way in the beginning. What we see in our gospel this morning is the contrast between religion and Christianity. They had rituals, all the outside of it, the superficiality of it, while Jesus had the inside of it. That's the difference. The first thing Jesus said is that you turned religion into an external instead of an internal matter, and therefore you become terribly concerned about the outer appearance and outward actions. And this is, he said, is hypocrisy. Jesus' position was that to the extent that while a ritual or practice was a means for expressing our inner spiritual reality, it was fine. When the performance of the ritual became an end in itself and became rigid and inflexible and burdensome, it was not good. Jesus taught a religion of freedom and love, not one of fear and bondage. So, dear friends, let us accept this criticism, this tongue lashing of our Lord, and apply it to ourselves. If we are more concerned about our outward appearance than getting our hearts straight, clean, and right to God, then we deserve exactly the same criticism of our Lord. And apply it like that to my own heart. It is easy to blame those old Pharisees and say that they were terrible people. But we have all had a dose of this. The second thing Jesus said is this: you have substituted a divine command for human ideas. He said to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And this is exactly what James says in our epistle this morning. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Further on, Jesus said, you abandon the commandment of God and hold on to human traditions. Sometimes we tend to carry the attitude that we are right in our teachings, that we are right in our views of morality. Sometimes we are more concerned about table manners than morality. We think we are right about our views about the church's traditions and decisions and about the kind of discipline that is right for humanity. We may have our faults, but being wrong is not one of them. After the service, we have our council meeting. So let me say this. Yes, churches can be just as guilty as individuals. That's the reason Jesus rebuked some of the churches in the book of Revelation. When it comes to forgetting who we are and becoming inwardly focused instead of outwardly engaged, somewhere along the line we forget the passion for sharing Jesus that marked our church's beginning. And we become more concerned with keeping this institution alive. We care about our own comfort, doing things the way we like them done. Then we care about doing things in the ways that would bring Jesus to the hurting world around us. Jesus proclaims a religion that is the religion of the heart. I pray for transparent and trusting heart in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.